Where have all the home builders gone?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Glad you're with us for the morning open. What little home building that was going on is even less. And there's enough chocolate talk to give us all a sugar rush. The latest on Who Wants Cadbury coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P pretty much flat, down just about 0.01%. The NASDAQ down about 0.25%. The Dow down about 15 points at 10,422. European markets higher right now, under 0.5%. And in Asia, stocks today were mixed. Well, as we told you, housing construction fell more than 10% in October. Building permits down too. Let's get some analysis from Richard DeKayser, president of Woodley Park Research. He's with us live this morning from Washington. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Steve.
So we know the housing market is shaky, but why the big dip?
Well, the conventional wisdom says that builders are pulling back after rushing to market a lot of properties that they were hoping to get in before the first-time homebuyer tax credit expired, which was slated for year-end. And there's probably some truth to that. However, two comments. Number one, the credit has since been extended. Not only has it been extended into next year, but it's been expanded. Initially, it applied only to first-time home buyers. Now it applies to first-time home buyers plus people who already own a home. And additionally, we had really bizarre weather. October was the wettest month on record, and those records go back to the 1890s. That tends to interfere with home building. It was also the third coolest October in 115 years. So these are the sort of things that definitely take an effect on housing. I don't think it's all about the tax credits. I think a part of this is noise, if you will, that comes from bizarre climate.
We got quickly, Richard, we got October consumer prices up slightly. Are we still talking inflation?
Well, it's only slightly. Basically, the October numbers were very much in line with what we saw previously. It was a little bit elevated because of energy prices. Gasoline soared, but that tends not to last for long. And if you look at the underlying trend, it's basically where we've been for the past year, somewhere between 1.5% and 2%. I wouldn't call that concerning.
All right. Richard DeKayser joining us from Washington. Richard, thanks.
My pleasure.
We got word today that Hershey's is considering joining a bid for the British candy maker Cadbury. The American chocolate giant, together with the Italian confectioner Ferrero, is reviewing options. And that comes just days after Kraft made a $16.7 billion bid for Cadbury, one that was quickly dismissed. Let's check in with Catherine Boyle, covering the story for the Times of London. She's with us this morning. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Steve.
So we have this sweet triangle here, and I'm curious, what makes Cadbury so tempting to these companies?
Well, Cadbury is a great British company with a lot of brands. They've also had a very comprehensive reorganization recently by an American chief executive, so they're a lot more efficient than they used to be.
I want to talk about these two companies, Catherine, Hershey's and Ferrero. They're very different in their backgrounds and in their financial strength. Structurally, how would this work?
Well, that is the question on everyone over here's lips and a lot of Cadbury shareholders too. Obviously, the statements that they have made this morning are still very much showing that this is a sort of preliminary thought. And obviously, neither of them are public companies, so they don't have access to the public markets, which whereas, in contrast, Kraft has $9 billion of financing already in place. So, that question still has to be answered fully.
And Cadbury called Kraft's hostile takeover bid from last week as derisory. I mean, what makes Hershey's and Ferrero believe their bid wouldn't be looked down upon, too?
Well, the one thing that Hershey and Ferrero could do to make sure their bid isn't looked down upon is to make a higher bid than Kraft have. Kraft's bid is composed of about a third cash and about two-thirds shares in Kraft. So, and I think a lot of shareholders would really like that cash element to be raised. So if Hershey and Ferrero can offer more immediate cash returns to shareholders, then I think they're going to be a lot more receptive.
All right, Catherine Boyle, reporter for the Times of London, joining us this morning. Catherine, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
There was a surprise apology yesterday by the Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein for their participation in the credit crisis. A few hours later, the company said it was starting a $500 million program to help small business, leading some to believe there are no coincidences. And one of the questions since the crisis began has been, how do we get more money flowing to small business again? At this hour, the Treasury and the Small Business Administration are sponsoring a forum. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Scratch the surface at many small businesses and you can see the credit crunch up close and personal. Reduced credit lines, bank loans called in, canceled credit cards, and the consequences, laid off workers and reduced inventory. The stimulus package passed by Congress made it easier for banks to make SBA loans and waived fees to borrowers. And that helped a lot, says Bob Coleman, who puts out a report on small business lending.
That lending is up 40% over what it was in the dark days of November and December.
Still, problems are looming. SBA's running out of stimulus money earlier than expected. And new initiatives like higher loan limits and bailout money for community banks haven't kicked in yet. And Coleman says there's only so much SBA can do if big banks that got bailouts don't start lending again.
I believe the criticism of the larger banks not lending enough is valid. But in their defense, the regulators have been very tough, i.e. clean up that balance sheet, be risk adverse.
And with banks still failing at record rates, it'll probably be a while before the survivors loosen up lending. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, in France, there's a warm and fuzzy hotel suite where you can play hamster. It comes complete with giant wheel for workout and hay to sleep on. The owners actually run a company which rents unusual rooms to people seeking adventures. They say some adults wish they could have had pet hamsters when they were kids. The hotel suite runs $150 a night, but seems people are asking nowadays for Wi-Fi and television next to those food pellets and water bottle. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.